Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shubb, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you. How are you doing?
Yep, very, very well, thank you. So incredible news last night. I see that we recorded less than 1,000 cases. I mean, yes, I know it's a Sunday night, so we've got to be aware of that, that aspect. But it really is an incredible number.
Yeah, no, we certainly are on the low point. We've come out of our third wave. We're now, I guess, what you can call baseline. It doesn't mean that there's no viral activity. There is, as you said, there's somewhat less than 1,000 cases. So it means that there is some activity going on. But certainly we're out of the third wave. We're now kind of in the kind of between waves.
Right.
So we can anticipate a fourth wave, probably at the end of the year. But hopefully it's going to be a lot less severe than what we had up to now. The reason I'm saying that is that there is quite a lot of natural immunity. There's also vaccine-induced immunity. And, you know, hopefully people have now learned some of the kind of infection prevention measures that they can take.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm being optimistic.
You are being optimistic. I feel like it just disappears so quickly. We seem to just revert back, and that's obviously the concern. You know, this balance between and I'm trying to figure out. Maybe you can share some of your thoughts. But I know from a mental health perspective, from a social perspective, now is the time that we can be a little bit more relaxed. We can enjoy what we couldn't enjoy, let's say, a month ago. But how do we make sure that we don't precipitate a fourth wave?
Yeah, look, I think it's, to some extent it is a bit of a balance. You know, in some ways, people are getting used to all these things. Mm. You know, wearing a mask and physical distancing. In some ways, it is kind of being ingrained into our habit of behavior. But I agree with you, there is also the other aspect, and that's the apathy and also being tired, you know, we've been having this now for, 18, 19 months. Mm. People want to really get back to what we were before. Look, vaccines have done a tremendous job, you know. I think if we look at what's it's done in terms of the relieving of the pressure on hospital, you see it, for example, the data coming out from the Western Cape, we're saying like only 4% of the people in ICU have been vaccinated, only 4%. 96% were, in fact, were unvaccinated. And similar kind of figure with mortality. So vaccine has done a tremendous amount. And even with a coverage of, about 30%, and cap a bit more, 40%, we are still seeing those dividends. But the problem is that these generation of vaccines that we got at the moment are very good at stopping severe disease. Not quite as good as relieving mild and moderate disease and also transmission of infection. So we still, unfortunately, still have to be careful being quite careful about the, all the masking and the physical distancing and all those infection prevention measures. We can't release it at the moment. Hopefully, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. We are going to get better vaccines. We are going to get better at it. And we will eventually go back to more or less our pre-COVID vaccine existence, but not quite just yet.
At this stage, when Israel were at this stage, were they removing masks outdoors?
That's the problem. You see, Israel kind of released too soon.
Right.
You know, I think there was a political pressure. So, look, we've conquered COVID. I think that's what the former prime minister said.
I remember my son went off to Israel, I think in April or wherever they went, had their vaccine, and he said, "Dad, there's no COVID here," which was wonderful, but it's not true.
Yeah. Not true, no. In fact, you know, if you look at the caseload, Israel's caseload, I'm not talking about cases, I'm not talking about severe cases. Severe cases are lower than us, somewhat lower, not all that much lower, as we are at the moment. But their caseload at the moment is 524 per million population. You've got to do it per million population. Right. Ours are 37.1. Wow. So you're not saying seven times or no, what I'm talking about, 14 times less than what we got on a caseload basis. So, you know, the vaccine is very good, as I say, preventing severe disease. But, you know, once you start relaxing all these things, then you're going to get a rebound. And this is what's happened in the United Kingdom, it's happened in Israel, it's happened in several countries overseas where they've done this.
So your view is that at this stage we shouldn't be contemplating removing masks, let's say, for outdoor events and things like that.
Look, I think we can start relaxing some things.
Right.
You know, even our the kind of statutory stuff.
Yes.
Now they talk about going down to lockdown level one or restriction
right.
level one.
Right.
So that is some kind of concession. They have increased the number of people that can be indoors, provided, of course, it's more than 50%.
Right.
Or sorry, less than 50% of the capacity. So there've been some kind of concessions, but unfortunately, masks, particularly indoors, outdoors. To some extent, one can look at certain circumstances where one can remove masks outdoors. But the problem is this, we can't have masks outdoors where people are still going to be socializing. You know, we see it on the street corners,
right.
people coming close together outdoors.
Yes.
And there's not much point not removing masks. You may as well be indoors then.
Right.
So, you know, I think one has to kind of look at it pretty kind of rationally and logically.
And of course, the other aspect is the fact that we know that the vaccines have a certain lifespan before they start diminishing in effectiveness.
Yeah, that's a little bit controversial. To be quite honest, we don't really have good knowledge, or just say precise knowledge. There certainly is laboratory evidence,
right.
I'll stress laboratory evidence, that there's good, robust, effective immunity as measured in the laboratory,
yes.
going all the way up to about 9 months after one dose of Johnson & Johnson or two doses of Pfizer.
Right.
Now, whether that's going to be translated into protection, that we're still learning. And, you know, some of the countries, like Israel, for example, have kind of looked at the fact that there are more cases in people that have been vaccinated earlier. Now, that doesn't prove it, because there are too many variables. Now, for example, there was a prioritization of the elderly.
Right.
Now, the elderly are more likely to have not quite good immune systems. So we're not quite sure really how durable. I think the kind of main feeling among scientists is at the moment, we probably don't need boosters except for people that have got immunosuppression, you know, people whose immune systems are not good,
right.
or not up to par. They may need another booster.
And that's what the FDA have recommended, right?
Correct, yeah. Right. The elderly and also immunosuppressed, and perhaps also healthcare workers because of their exposure.
Right. Do we have any real sense? I know Discovery put out some information which just didn't really, like, it just seemed a bit strange that 85%,
yeah.
I think, or whatever their figure was, of South Africans have either had COVID or been vaccinated. Do we have any real sense of what our exposure has been?
We do have some sense of it. There have been quite a number of what we call seroprevalence studies, you know, where they take a sample of blood and they look at that sample and extrapolate from that into the general population of the prevalence of antibodies. Now, what antibodies tell you is that somebody's been exposed to the virus, that they've been infected by the virus. What it doesn't necessarily tell you is, are they protected because they've got antibodies? That, unfortunately,
it
doesn't necessarily tell you that. They probably will have some degree of immunity, but we can't rely on that, on their being totally protected. So if you go on those seroprevalence figures, the overall around about, it seems to be about 40% of the population. Obviously, it varies from geographic area to geographic area, population, demographics, and so on. But about 40% overall of people have seen the virus. Either they've been vaccinated or they've had natural immunity. So that tells you how many people have seen the virus, but how many people are actually protected?
Yeah, that probably, we don't know yet.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be more or less that kind of figure, but maybe somewhat less than that.
Right. And do we have a sense of the our vaccine hesitancy factor? My sense is that it's improved a lot, but as more and more people get it, others are less afraid, perhaps. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's difficult to kind of put a figure on it. There have been some studies. HSRC, Human Science Research Council, they've done quite a widespread study, attitudes towards vaccine. And I think of the sample that they looked at, and it was a few thousand, it's actually fairly representative. They found, I think, about 30% of people not willing to be vaccinated for various reasons. The kind of main one is, as you say, hesitancy. People are nervous. They're kind of worried about, either short-term side effects or long-term side effects. There's a smaller group who are just simply apathetic. They kind of feel, well, they're not going to be bothered. And then we've got the very smallest group of the militant anti-vaxxers. And they probably comprise about 30 to 40% of the population who are sampled.
Wow. So we do, is it a strong, it's 30% of that group. So because I always wonder how strong our anti-vaxxers really are. I mean, I know they're noisy, but it doesn't mean that they're large in numbers.
See, anti-vaxxers are the militant group. They're the activists. And I think they kind of punched well above of their numbers. I think they're getting a lot of media publicity. They're probably a smaller number. I would guess 10% or even less of if you take a sample of the population. If you look at a sample, I think most people want to get vaccinated. Most people are kind of even eager to get vaccinated. I think it's less than 50% who are the hesitants, the apathetics, and the anti-vaxxers. And I think in terms of, in that proportion, the largest are the hesitants, slightly less are the apathetics, and even less are the anti-vaxxers.
Right. And a few people asking about healthcare workers, when do we foresee them getting a booster?
Yeah, I think it's going to be soon. You know, it's being discussed. It's been quite vigorously discussed, and recommendations are being made. You know, the recommendations, once they go out from our committee, they've got to go through various loops and hurdles they've got to clear. You know, it goes to the NCCC, it goes to the Interministerial Committee, et cetera, et cetera. I hope it's going to be soon. I think it will be soon that there will be an extra boost. You know, it's also the matter of getting supply of vaccines. Now, fortunately, at the moment, we are pretty okay with, but you know, if there's any interruption in the pipeline, of course, that changes the picture.
Right, and Yaya asking about 12 to 18-year-olds, any sense of that?
I think that's going to be more in the distant. You know, I think the problem, look, it's very easy to kind of lower the rate, from an operational point of view, from an administration point of view. The only thing is this, that from a public health point of view, our main objective must be to immunize the older individuals, the 60 pluses, the 50 pluses, and so on. The 60 pluses, our coverage is pretty good. It's about 50%. In the Cape, it's even higher. It's about 60%. In Popa, 60%. But, you know, there still is that gap. We do need to kind of focus our resources really on the adults. So I think the children, because they are much less likely to get severe disease. There has been some talk about looking at children who've got comorbidities, of course, but that's a very small number.
I would imagine.
But children, generally healthy children, I think that's going to be further down the line. Don't think that's imminent.